Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Lord, we thank you for this evening that we can come again and hear your word and come and praise you, Lord. Thank you for the songs that you have given us, that we have sent. Thank you for the morning message, Lord, that we have heard. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the preacher. Thank you for this church. Lord, so much that you have given us. We thank you and we praise you for that. And most of all, thank you for saving our souls, Lord. We don't deserve this life that we have in Christ. But thank you for your mercy that you brought us. You found us when we were lost. And I pray that you help us, that our life will be used in your service. I pray for all those here, Lord. I thank you for their help, Lord. I thank you for what they have done to help me, Lord. Lord, I don't have much to give them, but I pray that you will bless them, Lord. And I pray that you keep their faith in the Lord, in the work of the Lord. Lord, help me as I present this message. I pray that you guide and give me the liberty to speak, Lord. And I pray that everyone here this evening, Lord, will be blessed. And I pray that let them not hear me, but let them hear from you, Lord. We thank you for your word that you have given us. And I pray, commit those who are not here this evening for some reasons. And I pray that you watch over them. Pray for those who are needing healing, Lord. Ask for your help on them. Lord, pray for the Master Club that is coming up. And I pray for all the workers, Lord, that you give them strength, your grace, to help and to deal with all those kids, Lord. Thank you for that ministry, Lord. And I pray for Wednesday service and the missionaries who are coming in, Lord, pray that you will be with them and bless the service and draw hearts closer to you. Lord, bless now this message as I speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 37, verses 3 to 5 is my life verse. I treasure this verse, and every time I think about this verse, I try to base my life on this verse. And the three words I try to be part of my life is trust, delight, and commit. But before I come down to those three things, I would start from one. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself." Fret from what? Evildoers. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. What about evildoers? The Bible says they should be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Here we see that evildoers, in the days of David, when he wrote this passage, they were also evildoers. And they were prosperous, they were in authority, they have authority in their hand, they were doing what they can do. They were doing it in their way, not doing it God's way. And they were making God's people suffer. Today we see that evildoers are in authority and coming up with all sorts of rules and are making Christians suffer. They're making good people suffer. And you can see evildoers are all around here. People that are not saved. And you see how they prosperous they are. Sometimes Christians, we get tired of things we have. We like to have many things. We sometimes envy. We say, if they have it, why don't we have it too? Sometimes we think about giving up life. Life with Christ. And we like to go out and enjoy life with them. Which is really wrong. Today we see that government has come up with so many rules, so many kind of agreement he's giving. Some of them, they're against God. We see the government prosper in the ways of wickedness. We should not envy. We should not afraid. We should not complain. We should not do things what they are doing. But we should pray and seek the Lord. Bible says, the prosperity of wickedness or evildoers are short. Bible says, give an illustration about they will be cut down as grass. When you cut the grass down, it withers. Many times dry, and it's good for fire. Bible says, they will wither as a green herb. Their riches, their prosperity is short. They will die anytime. and they will have long everlasting life in hell, burning in the fire. And they don't realize that their life, what they're doing is wrong. And they don't understand that when they die, they will have everlasting life in hell. But they don't realize it. But here we see we have a command that God gives us. I believe that every individual person saved is a soldier of Christ. And here God gives us command. What is the first command? It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight. And next is commit. I call these three precious promises. The three precious promises. First one, trust in the Lord. What is trust? Trust is depend, to have a confidence or faith in God. Trust is to believe God. We must make God our hope in the way of our duty. It is required that we trust in the Lord and do well. Trust in the Lord and do good. What good can you do? Trust in the Lord as you serve God in the ministry. Right here, God has provided a ministry. You trust in Him, believe in Him, and have confidence in Him, and you serve Him. Serve Him in any particular section or area that God has allowed you to serve. Excuse me. Some of you have teaching master's club. Some of you lead songs. Some of you go to Pine Ridge National Home. Some of you, anything that you do in here, that is what God wants you to do. When you do it, you trust in the Lord and you do those ministry. Our life lies much in believing on God, His favor, providence, promise, grace, diligent care to serve Him. So when you trust in the Lord, God's favor, God gives His favor on you. And God provides your providence. And God's promise and grace is upon your life. We must not think to trust God and live as we live. Like some Christians say, I trust in God, but he is living as he wants to. He is living as all his wishes. He says, I'm trusting God, but sometimes his action doesn't tell that he trusts God. You can't live or do what you want to do and trust God, but you can trust God and live and do what God wants you to do. That goes together. Sometimes Christians say, I'm trusting the Lord. But his actions, the ways, doesn't tell us that he's trusting the Lord. But his actions or ways are against God. But you can't trust the Lord with that kind of having that part in your life. What God wants us to do is trust him and serve him. What can I serve? Where else can I serve? The best place to serve is in the church and the ministries that the church has provided. If we trust the Lord and not serve Him and do as we wish, simply that means we are tempting God. No must we think to do well than to trust to ourselves, our own righteousness and strength. We must both trust in the Lord and do well. You say, is there a promise of trusting the Lord? Yes, there is a promise in trusting the Lord. Bible says, verse 3, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We shall be well provided for in this world. It says, so shalt thou dwell well in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Thou shalt be fed. If I trust the Lord and serve him in his ministry, he will feed me. He does not say, so shalt thou get preferment or dwell in a palace and be feasted. You say, if I trust the Lord, I will have all the things that I have in this world. What kind of things you desire to have? There are many things a man desires to have. But I will say, the many things you desire to have, is it worth it for life? Bible says, all the things we have, they are not necessary. A man's life consists not in the abundance of these things, but thou shalt have place to live in, that in the land, this is all that we deserve, and it is enough for one that is going to heaven. Sometimes I don't have the things that I desire to have. It is not necessary to have all the things that you want to have in this world. It is not necessary. But God says life is necessary. Life in the Lord, God's service is necessary. You might serve God and not have what you desire to have. In God's eyes, that's okay. Genesis chapter 28:20 says, Genesis chapter 28, Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28:20 says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. As Jacob vowed a vow, knowing that the way he went, God would provide, God would feed him, and God did." So if we trust in the Lord and do His service, God will feed us. It says, "Thou shalt be fed." Now some read it, "Thou shalt be fed by faith, as the just are said to live by faith, and is a good living, feeding upon the promises. Verily, thou shalt be fed." Here we see, I have an illustration that I want to give. Trusting in the Lord and serving God, God will provide for you. God provided for Elijah in the famine. It was a great famine. Elijah was a man of God, serving God, doing God's will. And the famine came, and God provided a place that God can feed him. God sent him to the brook. And he stayed there, and God used ravens to feed him with meat until the brook dried. And God sent him to a widow with a son. And that was the last meal, and the widow prepared and gave to Elijah. And God blessed it and increased it. So when we serve the Lord, when we trust in the Lord and serve Him, though we may not have the things we want to have, but God will provide. God will provide it for us. He might not provide the things like the world have. He might not make us rich or prosper, but His blessings are there enough to help us. As God took care of Elijah, He can also take care of us. Knowing the fact about the Lord, God Himself is a shepherd and a feeder, and He feeds all those trust in Him. So if I trust in Him, trust in God and serve Him, do what He wants me to do for Him, He will feed me, because He's a shepherd. Because He promised in here, He said, "Trust in me and I will take care of you." Sometimes we don't trust God. We see all that we have and we say, we have all what we want to have. And we serve Him. But God, He commands us to trust in Him, to have confidence in Him. He wants us to trust in Him. And this is a command. Trust in Him. A man, elderly man, a child, a student in school can trust in God, because that's where God wants him to be. A child going to school, God has a promise to trust in Him, because He will provide. He will give him the wisdom to learn and to grow. As he or she does that, God blesses him. The second thing, delight your life in the Lord. Delight your life in the Lord. I must delight my life in the Lord. What is delight? Delight is to give pleasure or rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. We must make God our heart's delight, and we shall have our heart's desire. Psalms 37:4. We must not only depend upon God, but solace or comfort ourselves in Him. We must be well pleased that there is a God, that He is such a one as He has revealed Himself to be. And He is our God in covenant. God has made a covenant with us. and He's our God. Keep that in your mind, knowing that He is God and He is my God. He has made a covenant to watch and take care of me. Keep that fresh in your mind. Sometimes you forget about who God is. And you come to a place and you realize that you see difficult all that you face, and you don't realize that He is your God and He has made a covenant to stay with you, to watch over you, and to care for you. If I, as a Christian, a believer, keep God fresh in mind, knowing that He is my God, He is with me, that will help my faith each day as I do what God wants me to do. We must delight in His beauty and bountiness. Being satisfied of His loving kindness, we must be satisfied with it and make that our exceeding joy. Psalms 43:4. We were commanded in Psalms 37:3 to do good, then follow this commandment to delight in Him, which is as much a privilege as a duty. If we make conscience obedience to God, we may then take the comfort of self-satisfactory in Him. Even this pleasant duty of delighting in God has a promise attached to it, which is full and precious enough to recompense the hardest service. He shall give thee the desire of thy heart. He has not promised to gratify all the appetites of the body and humors of the fancy, but to grant all the desires of the heart, all the cravings of renewed, sanctified soul. I have a desire in my heart to do God's word. I have other desires in the ministry for God. I don't know what desires you have in here this evening, but God knows your desires. But God says He will take care of those desires. But God wants you to serve Him, rejoice in Him, in the work of the Lord. Your desire might be praying for someone to get saved. Your desire might be for your family. Your desire might be someone that is sick or ill. Or your desire may be something that you only know, no one knows, and you pray for that. God knows those desires. God wants us you to pray and rejoice in Him, because He knows your desires. And He will help you fulfill those desires. Trust in Him. Rejoice in Him. Continue to serve Him. What is the desire of a heart of a good man? You say, what is the desire of a heart of a good man? The desire of the heart of a good man is to know and love and live to God and to please God, to be pleased in God. The desire of a good man. To know God, to love God, to live for God, and to please in God, to be pleased in God. That's the desires of a good man. 13 is commit thy way. You say, whom should I commit my way? Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit your way. It's like, commit your life, your direction, anything that you want to do to the Lord. What is commit? Commit is to deliver for safekeeping or entrust. I commit my way. I commit my life to the Lord. Because in God, my life is kept for His service. We must make God our guide and submit everything to His guidance and disposal. Then all our affairs, even those that seem most intricate or hard to follow or understand, will be made world to and to our satisfaction. Psalms 37:5-6. The first duty is very easy. You say, how can I commit thy way? The first duty is very easy. If we do it right, it will make us easy. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It means roll your cares upon the Lord. Throw it on the Lord. I mean, sometimes too many cares come in my life, and it just afflicts me. It just takes my joy. It just takes my love for God away. And it's too much that I can bear. Sometimes it just put me down. But the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Cast it to the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That means, roll it to the Lord. Proverbs 16:3. Find Proverbs 16:3 saying, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy thoughts unto the Lord, and thy ways shall be established. Psalms 55:22. Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Talks about burden. Everyone has a burden. Some burdens are heavy, some burdens are light. Some burdens are too much to carry. Some burdens are really unbelievable. But burdens are sometimes, it can pile up. You have a car. What happens if you overload the car? The tire bursts off. We should have a wheelbarrow. When I stayed with the missionary, and he was building, I think, shower block. And the cement mixture was away from where the working area, so we would have the wheelbarrow, load the cement on the wheelbarrow and take them to where the working area is. There was a guy who was pushing his wheelbarrow. He put so much cement, it was mixed. And he pushed out, and the tire burst. The load was so heavy. It burst, and even the rim got cracked. Sometimes that does happen in our life. You carry so many burdens. But God says, commit it, cast it to me. As it says in Proverbs 16:3. And also it says in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting thy burden upon me, for he cares. Casting your burdens upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So, if you have so much burden on your life, you want to serve God, those burdens will slow you down. It will even steal your joy. And even steal your love for God. And they will even make you mad. And, I mean, some people sometimes, so burdened on their heart in their life, you can see, you can realize they're carrying so many burdens. But burdens are not good to carry alone. God already provided, God already said, it's mine, give it to me. Roll it on God and he will make it light for you. Why? It's dangerous. It will kill you. Not kill you physically, but spiritually. Some burdens are really heavy, light. Some burdens are hard to deal with. But I know the one who can deal with those burdens. But I know the one who can solve those burdens. But I don't know the one who I can give my burdens to him. It's like staying away from home, thousands and thousands of miles. Sometimes you have it's nature. When you are last in a family, and you stay away from home and like your family, there's so much precious in you. But God can make it light for you. Sometimes burdens get so heavy in my way, and it's really tough. I just cry and ask God to help me. And God sometimes does that. When you are down with so many difficult trials, and you see things not working right in your life, those are burdens. Cast it to the Lord. Roll it to God. Give it to God. Sometimes burdens are like case. Open it and throw it to God. And now God take care of the burdens. We must roll the burdens of ourselves so as not to afflict ourselves with the thought of future events. Matthew 6:25, not to trouble ourselves, but refer it to God, leave it to him by his wise and good providence for order and disposal of all our concerns as he pleases. By prayer spread thy case, by prayer spread thy burden, all thy cares upon God, or bring it before the Lord by prayers. Retreat thy way before the Lord. Judges chapter 11 talks about Jephthah He was the Judges chapter 11. Okay, Judges chapter 11, Jephthah. Jephthah was the Gileadite. He was a mighty man of valor. And he was the son of a Halod. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Jephthah was the ninth judge of Israel. But his mother was a Halod. And Gilead was his dad. So, the Halod, Jephthah's mother, gave birth and called him Jephthah. And people didn't want to have him around because he was Halod's son. Because of her mom's past experience. And she was a living right. She did all the bad stuff. And when she got married to Jephthah's dad, he was born. And the Israelites, all the people didn't want him around because they said, "You're bad. You're not good." So they cast him around, away from them. So he ran off because they didn't want to have him stay. And when Israel had a war against Ammon, and then they called him and asked him to be their leader. And he said, "You guys cast me away from away from Ammon within you. You guys throw me out from the country. Why are you guys coming back and asking for me to be a leader?" They said, "We need you." And he said, "If I come and be a leader and fight for Israel, would you people accept me?" But verse Judges 11:11 says, Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. So Jephthah came before the Lord and he cast all his burdens. I mean, it's not an easy thing to have people against you and throw you out from your home, from your church, from your family. That's too much. You say, "But my dad was a good man." They won't care. They didn't care. He said, "It's because of my mom. She was a living right. My dad was okay. But now, because of my mom, what she was doing before, they cast me away from home, from heaven, from people, from my family. They couldn't have me stay." That was a huge burden. But you know what Jephthah did? He cast it to the Lord. When you read Judges 11 and down, you'll find out that just God used Jephthah to win victory over Israel, over the children of Ammon. The best thing Jephthah did, he cast upon the Lord all the burdens that he has. Says in Judges 11:11, Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. We should cast our burdens to the Lord and trust in Him so He will bring it to good issue. With full satisfaction and always well with God. We must do our duty, that must be our care, and then leave the event with God. You heard a story about Naomi. There was big famine in Israel. Naomi fled. And he went. She left Israel. She went. She left all his families. She left with all his her families. Her husband, they went. And you know what? When she was in that land, husband died, two children died. And she heard about how God blessed Israel. She came back again. By the time, during the day when she left, she had all she had. But when she came back, returned, it was different. She wasn't what she used to be. She lost her husband, her children, all that she had. She came back, she had her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And you know the whole story. And Boaz. He was supposed to, Naomi told Ruth to go in the night and sleep beside Boaz. But, Boaz didn't do anything. He said, "Wait till the morning. I'll take this issue before the elders." So Naomi came home, told Ruth, and Ruth said, "Sit still and see how God can make this out, work this out." So here we see, "Sit still and see how the matter matter with fall. That was what Ruth told Naomi. Naomi told Ruth, in that way, we must follow providence and not force it. So this is how, so that burden, Ruth, Naomi gave the burden to the Lord and trusted that God would work out for the good to help Naomi and Ruth to gain all that loss. But since they gave the burden to the Lord, you saw, we know the end results. Boaz married Ruth, and how blessed it was that Christ could come out from that lineage. You know how God worked it out. Burdens are not good when you keep it. Burdens are good when you cast it to the Lord. And you will see how can God can turn out that burden you have. It's not just casting a burden to the Lord. You give it to Him and you pray. You pray, pray until you have the peace. Then it's released to the Lord. We must follow providence and not force it. The promises is very soon. In general, He shall bring it to pass, whatever it is which thou hast committed to Him. He will find means to rescue you. God will find means to rescue you. Whatever you're facing, whatever difficulty or whatever burdens you have, your heart is saying, God will find means to rescue you. God will prevent thy fears and bring upon thy purpose to your satisfaction. God will take care of your reputation and bring you out of your difficulties, not only with comfort, but with credit and honor. He shall bring forth righteousness as a light and judgment as a new day. Psalms 37:6. He will make you appear that you are an honest man, that and that is honor enough. First, it is said that the righteousness and judgment of good people may for a time be clouded either by remarkable rebukes or providence. As Job, we see a righteous man that lived, didn't do any wrong, but he was afflicted with no reason. And there must be reason why God did that. And how three of his friends afflicted him by so many crazy advices. But thank God he didn't lose his faith. You know what his wife told Job about his affliction? He said, why can't you just give up God? Why can't you just give up God and turn your back on God? If I was someone today been afflicted, not because of sin, but because of what God's doing in his life, I guess, what would his wife say to him? Give up God, turn your back on God. You're wasting your time. But I see that Job still loved God. He survived. How he lost, how the worms were crawling on his skin, and how, man, it was terrible. But he cast all the burdens, I believe, to the Lord. He knew that God was doing this for a purpose. He knew that many generations will come after and read about him and how he went through all those hard times and afflictions. God used him for us to see. You say many thousands of years ago, yeah, but it's still clean. I mean, our minds. Someone is suffering today. I don't know what advice they are giving him. Sometimes maybe crazy advices. Sometimes people, when someone is sick and ill and going through tough time, and they say, you don't have faith. But does God say he doesn't have faith? But God knows what he's doing. But sometimes people want to be like those three friends of Job. Give them so many things that adds the burdens and put them in agony, in great affliction. Physical affliction and afflictions from the advices people give. But you should tell those who are in affliction that your life is in God's hand. God knows what He's doing. God has something that He wants to show out in your life. Trust in Him and commit your life to Him, and God will make use of what you are going through in your life. He shall bring for righteousness the light and judgment as a new day. Sometimes when we are serving God, clouds will cover over our light. Sometimes things come in our way and makes us dim. But don't be discouraged. If things come in my way and make my life dark, dim, I should not lose my hope and trust in God. I should still pray and seek God and ask Him to help me. But you know what? For Christians, someday we will shine like a light. We will shine like Christ. The day is coming for. Lastly, promise that God will roll away and clear up innocence and bring forth our righteousness to our honor, perhaps in this world, at furthest, in a great day. Matthew 13:43. So three things, and I will be a blessing and help to you this evening is trust in the Lord. Delight, rejoice in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit. Give it to God. Your burdens, your cares. I have mine, but God gives me grace and peace to help me through. I don't want to keep it myself and those things sink me down. The joy and the peace and the life and the light that I want to shine for God. But sure, this is a command that God has given me. Trust in the Lord. Delight, commit my way to Him. And He will take care of me. Thank you for your hearing.